Reminder. Today's scriptures, as I said to the children, point us toward prayer. Abraham prays for the innocent in Sodom. David prays a psalm of praise for the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. Paul encourages us to live out our baptismal calling with lives of thanksgiving. And in the gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. Now, there are two places in the Gospels where Jesus teaches the Our Father. We first come across it in Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's what we see here on the screens. The version that we use most often in our worship comes from the Matthew passage. And you may have noticed, as in today's reading from Luke, that it's a little bit shorter. It leaves out two petitions. It leaves out the third, Your will be done. And the last, deliver us from evil. And then neither of the versions has the part about the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Luke doesn't have it, never did, not even in the King James Version. If that doxology is in Matthew, and oftentimes it's left out, scholarly translations will put it in a footnote at the bottom because the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of the Bible just simply don't have that part in them. It appears to have snuck into the Bible from liturgical practices, which added those familiar lines of praise that we use every Sunday as a faithful postscript just before communion. Those who copied the scriptures, and all of the scriptures were copied by hands until 500 years ago with the invention of the printing press, simply added something that they thought should have been there all along. Well, it wasn't only the disciples back then who wanted prayer instructions. Lutherans also have wanted to grow in the practice of prayer. In about 1520, Martin Luther started writing about prayer and how people in his congregation could use that. And he included the Lord's Prayer in both his small and large catechisms. Lest you forget, there is a copy of the small catechism in the back of the red hymnal. So I'm going to have you reach forward and drag out one of those heavy red hymnals. And we're going to turn to the back of the book. We're looking for little numbers on the bottom. Usually we look for little numbers on the bottom and the front of the book. We're going to the back of the book today. Page 1163. I was surprised to find out they had counted all the pages when they numbered these. I hope it's right. Anyway, so part on the Lord's Prayer so that we have an opportunity so we can see just what Martin Luther said 500 years ago. A little bit less than that, about this important prayer. And then if you turn a couple pages over to 1166, you'll see there's more prayer stuff in his small catechism. There's a morning prayer or a blessing, an evening prayer, and then there's also some suggestions for table prayer. These aren't just prayers, of course. Luther was Roman Catholic, you remember, and did a lot of praying. And so he actually put these down as little liturgies that families can use for their prayer times together or in your personal devotions as well. So, remember, he was a monk, and as such, he was shaped by the prayer life of the monastery. Monastic prayer takes its cues from the daily prayers that go all the way back to the temple in Jerusalem. Each morning and each evening, twice daily, there was a prayer time at the time of the daily sacrifice in the temple. And the expectation is that all the people of God would turn to the temple and pray. And the early Christians just continued this practice of twice daily prayer as well, and continued even after the temple was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70. So Luther includes in his small catechism these short liturgies for morning and evening and mealtime prayers. Luther's ideas about prayer were that the busier one got, the more time one needed in prayer. One of his key ideas about prayer was that each day one approached prayer what that one needed. You needed something familiar to get started, and then you also needed something novel to keep it from being boring or meaningless. He was afraid of rote recitations because he had run across that in the monastery too. And so he encouraged us when we pray to change things up all the time. Not only are we to read the Lord's Prayer, and he encouraged us to read it rather than recite it from memory. He thought the process of actually reading the text, having it in front of you rather than reciting it from memory was a good one. It would engage your mind more. And today with our tablets and our Kindles and our smartphones, we can take that kind of stuff right with us and have it right there. If you are a low-tech bent kind of person, you can also get yourself one of those little blank books, and you can write out the words of the Lord's Prayer word for word. There is a benefit to doing that kind of practice, too. As one copies a word, a phrase, a sentence, one has time to think and ponder and meditate on the meaning and the deeper meanings of such things. How valuable to have your own personalized version of the Lord's Prayer and a few other things as well in your back pocket or your purse so that you can pull them out whenever you need them. Of course, Luther was no slouch. He didn't just read the Lord's Prayer and be done with it, but also the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments and some favorite scripture passages, and then he prayed a psalm or two and sang a hymn to boot. Moreover, his practice with the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Commandment was to go through them a second time and use each part, each subpart of the prayer of the Commandments of the Creed as a jumping off for more specific prayers pertinent to what was going on in a person's life. Martin Luther prayed a lot and encouraged us to do so as well. Now, if you haven't been praying much and you try to do all that stuff, you're going to burn out in less than 2 days, three tops. So here's another little bit of advice from Luther. Change things up every day. Do whatever pleases you each time you pray. Don't let the process get tiresome. Luther suggested some tips to make prayer a reality, too. He encouraged people to stand or kneel when they pray. Begin with the sign of the cross. Say an invocation, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over me. And do your prayers right away. Don't put them off. Schedule it or it won't happen. He suggested first thing in the morning and just before going to bed. I don't function well first thing in the morning. I don't know about you. I have to have at least a cup of coffee. And I always fall asleep just before bedtime. So I have a morning and evening prayer scheduled right here in my cell phone. And that way I can keep track of it and I won't forget to do it. But it's not the first thing in the morning. And it's long before I go to bed at night. As our lives get busy and complicated, prayer can seem like an intrusion in our busy days. Luther himself reminded us that whenever we'd work for others, we are praying. However, he also cautioned us at the same time against getting slothful and putting off the consequential work of regular prayer. Moreover, he reminds us that the scriptures tell us that God knows our needs before we even do and before we even ask. You see, prayer, Luther reminds us, is not done for God's sake. Quite the opposite, to remind ourselves of God's great compassion and mercy toward us and the whole world in which we live. God knows we need daily bread, both today and tomorrow. So God provides daily and abundantly everything we need for life, not only bread, but also health and wholeness. Everything we need without asking. And yet we ask for this bread and all we need in order that we may live in the assurance that God hears our prayers and answers them mercifully and strongly and lovingly in every arena of our existence. And so we pray as Jesus taught, with his very words, and to that prayer, that sacred prayer, we add our Amen. Amen simply means yes. Yes to God, yes in faith, yes in confidence, yes in truth, yes in trust, yes in hope. Yes, this is most certainly true. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.